Hello, boys and ghouls. So wait, no. Boils and ghouls. And welcome to the spooky month of The Bit Effect. This spooky month, we will be talking about Little Nightmares 1 and 2. And then a game you'll find out at the end of the episode. With me to discuss these things is a little person with a bag on their head. And that little person is named Craig.
Hi. Oh, do I need to put a bag in my head to record this? Because that's going to be a nightmare to edit.
Little nightmare edit?
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Okay. Give me a plastic bag to put over my head.
Let's play who can last longer. All right. As you can tell, we're in rare form. We will see you on the other side of this spooky music. Little boy with you that started to
let's tone it down a wee bit.
you charming little boy with a bag on your head, why don't you give us the stats?
Yeah, sure thing. So Little Nightmares 1 and 2, I'll kind of try and keep them grouped together where I can. So they're both produced by Tarsier Studios, with a lot of cool sounding people work for them. It was published by Bandai Namco, both of them, and it was released on one of these everything games, so Android, iOS, Stadia, Switch, PlayStation, Windows, Xbox. The first game was released originally in 2017, and then the mobile ports last year now in 2023, and Little Nightmares 2 was released in 2021. That was a slightly more focused release, so that was on still the Stadia, for as it was dying, the Stadia, the Switch, and the PS4 and Xbox, or PS4, PS5 and Xbox. I noticed a name here which we'll need to dig into, but we'll not do this just now, but see the producer for the original Little Nightmares, it lists Henrik Larsson, and I'm wondering if it's Henrik Larsson, the football coach, the footballer, he's Swedish. Do you think it's the same person? Or do you think there's more than one Henrik Larsson?
Could Little be known as a analogy for a football match?
No, not in the slightest.
The raincoat kind of looks like a uniform?
Oh, maybe. Actually, do you know what? And that, like, Tarsier Studios is from Sweden. Henrik Larsson is from Sweden.
I mean, Kurt Schilling, the famous baseball pitcher, ended up making Kingdoms of Amalur, so...
Yeah. I remember people shouting, there's only one Henrik Larsson. And if there's only one Henrik Larsson, it's could be the same guy.
Oh. Well, crowds of people can't be wrong, Craig.
Oh, no. Anyway, that is the introduction to Little Nightmares. The studio themselves come from they grew up in Little Big Planet, so they got... spotted by Media Molecule, made some DLC, eventually made Tearaway and stuff like that, which are great games. Like, Tearaway is just... Okay, Little Big Planet, not so much, but Tearaway is a fantastic wee 3D platformer. Did you ever play that, actually?
I did on the Vita. And okay. I wasn't as charmed. Like, I got kind of bored of it. But yeah. I can't say, like, oh, I think it was bad, and here's why. Like, I really don't remember. I just remember, like, oh, hey, my face is the sun, and there's my finger. Like I remember the trailer bits from it.
Yeah. Fair enough. Anyway, yeah, that's them. They've done a VR game, which is like a puzzle horror. You're strapped to a chair, and you've got to figure... Your hands are stuck in a box, and you've got to figure out with the buttons how to undo the... It's very cool.
That sounds very cool.
It is. So they seem to be reasonable innovators and creative and stuff like that. There's all this energy, it feels like. And then they delve into nightmarish fuckery with Little Nightmares.
Which, arguably, being objective, is not very original. you can tell what games these people played and went, we could do something like that. And arguably, I guess the point of this podcast might be, do they do it better than Limbo and Inside?
Yeah, they do. No, what? Was that for later?
You know what, Craig? That was like wheeling out a big cake that might have had a stripper in it, and then you just go, hey, I bet you that cake could hold a stripper, and you just ruin everything.
Okay, sorry about that.
And now we have to gas the stripper while they're inside the cake because the surprise is ruined.
You know, the only stripper I've ever seen inside a cake was in the film Under Siege, and she gets shot.
Why are we mentioning so many Steven Seagal movies? Arguably, that's the one scene everybody remembers from Under Siege.
Yeah.
So the one scene everybody remembers from Little Nightmares will have to wait because we have history with these. Like, personally, I remember when Little Nightmares was hitting the media blitz and doing that thing that people who play a lot of video games do go, oh, yeah, that's basically. Somebody's outside my window yelling. That's not what I said to the trailer. I said, oh, hey, that's Limbo. And immediately went, okay, this intrigues me more than Limbo did, and gave it a shot. Initially, it has the ring of a one-off. Like, I was super surprised when a sequel came out.
Yeah.
What about you?
I was the same. Like, I really liked Limbo. I never actually played Inside until last year. But Limbo was great. So Little Nightmares came out and I thought, yeah, give that a punt because it's literally another Limbo, I thought. And I kind of enjoy that style of platforming, that just...
light puzzle. Plowing.
Yeah, very light puzzle. Very shocking in the way that you die. It's a lot of words that we use for Limbo and Inside can be used for Little Nightmares in the way that a puzzle is presented, because usually you don't know it's a puzzle until you're already dead, and then you've got to try and get around that puzzle.
It's like a game full of the spider.
yeah, it's brilliant. So yeah, like, that was great. Little Nightmares 2 came out. By the time Little Nightmares 2 came out, my daughter had already liked Little Nightmares, so we sat and played the second one. We're like, shot about, you know, like, oh, I died, your turn, going backwards and forwards. We played them on the Switch.
Yeah.
Which, it's actually quite a good system for a game like this, because it runs
it's
perfectly
fine. Low stakes
fine.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. It's low stakes. You can pass a controller about, but you can pass a Switch about as well. But it's also, it just feels a lot more put down and pick up. You could be making dinner and have a wee go, a stage or a bit of puzzle, or, you know, just throw the Switch in the bag and have a wee shot at lunch and stuff. It's very quick and easy to pick up where you left off. Driving to a quest, or there's no massive boss fight that takes 15 minutes. There's none of that. It's very, very, very easy to access.
Or you can be a man who is almost 40 playing it and going, oh, it's 11:30, but judging by the trophies, I'm probably close to done. And then you end up staying up till 1 in the morning on a work night because that stupid teacher won't leave you alone. And... then the whole next day, you're like, stupid Little Nightmares 2. So, yeah, whatever way you want to play it, you go ahead and play it. You can even sort of play this in podcast form, because Bamco released, I guess, world expansion would be the best way to put it, of this world that these both inhabit, as a, like, audio drama podcast. And I listened to it, and all I'm going to say is, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Land as well. I don't know if you saw, but there was comics as well.
Yeah, I saw that. One. Yeah.
I did not know that. It turns out, apparently, the comics are not canon to the story
what
of Six.
What a bunch of butts.
And Little Nightmares 2 overwrites any backstory that was in the comics. I never read the comics. I don't know what it says, but apparently it clashes with some of the elements of Little Nightmares 2.
It was weird that the comics, because I did read the comics, and if I remember right, like, Six goes to Paris and has this fun shopping journey where she meets a young man, and they have a really great time together, which was weird as a middle ground between Little Nightmares 2 and 1.
I thought you were going to say 6 climbs a mountain to collect strawberries and discover herself.
No, it wasn't Super Meat Boy, you weirdo. Now, okay, so one of the things I want to get across right away is whether or not this is effective horror. And, I was hoping to get your daughter on, but then she was like, no, I'm not going to talk with two creepy old guys about a video game. And we were like, that's a fair point. So, from a younger person's perspective, and by younger person, I mean like, I guess the Five Nights at Freddy's audience.
Yeah, yeah.
This seems to be very effective horror.
Yeah. She says she's like, it's not scaled, it's not overt. But she gets keeped out at quite a lot of it.
Really?
Especially, like, not jumping way ahead, but you know the big blobby eyeball monster?
Oh, yeah, towards the
end? Like, that especially, she could barely look at. She was like, whoa!
that's awesome to hear. Because, like, a lot of this... Okay, and I don't know if this is something the fine Swedes were going for. A lot of this feels like, you know that thing where you watch a kid's show growing up and then the internet points out how creepy that show was and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of was. Like, it has that feel to it. Like the, what is it? The puppet show from Control.
Oh, it's exactly what I was going to say. It's exactly that.
What were they? They were the portal kids or?
Yeah, I can't remember what they were, but it was that exact thing where you're just like, ugh, what were they thinking back then? This is weird.
Yeah, like it's not overtly horror, but it's living in a space of creepy, but isn't cartoony like a Luigi's Mansion, for example. Yeah. And I find that super fun place to be, because you don't go to this for I want to play this in the dark and be creeped out. It's more like hey, that's a really cool design, or like that's kind of spooky. So if you're not playing these because, they might be like YouTube bait jump scare games, they are definitely not that.
No, they're not.
What would you say? Like creepy in the same way Until Dawn was creepy.
Yeah. Or maybe creepy in the same way that Limbo was creepy. Limbo, sorry. Inside. I think Inside stepped up a notch from Limbo. I actually, I had a personal creepiness with this because a lot of the first game is inside what feels, looks, and definitely is a ship or a submarine.
Well, I was going to say, on that chain? I'm like, Craig's hating it.
Absolutely, tootin' lootly, I do not like, I did unsubscribe me from life with that. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's fine. I can't tell if the objective is to be horror or if it is to live in that kind of gray zone of, like, sort of spooky. One thing we should mention is Little Nightmares 2 is a prequel to Little Nightmares 1. So we will be talking about it kind of in opposite order-ish to maintain kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Narrative. Cohesion.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you actually do when you play this game, Craig?
So you run from left to right and die. And then you run from left to right again while trying to avoid that death, dying in a different way. And then when you get past that, you start getting chased and have to run from left to right while being chased by a horrific thing. And that is quite a chunk of the game. You're doing puzzles, you're wandering about the place, you're throwing boxes at walls to try and expose a hole to jump through, you're climbing up and down and pulling levers, and you're putting teddy bears inside a weird machine. You're doing lots of weird things. Like, each set piece of puzzle is one of those videos from Control. It's a really weird science experiment type weirdness.
And then, of course, in the second one, you are sometimes engaging in Some of the worst combat imaginable, but it's that way on purpose. Like, you are playing as a little person killing other little people with very big people tools.
Yeah.
It's a very cool way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Just on that, like, really, really, really slightly, like, one of my favorite bits of both games is when you're trying to hit that canister to make it explode, and you're going in one door and out the other, and you've got a gigantic hammer, and you're swinging it, and you're, like, stressed, And the thing I love about that, this is like a stereotypical boss. You've got a boss in the middle, you've got two doors flanking the room, and if you go in the left one, you come out the right one. But as he's moving about, if his elbow goes through the left door, it comes out the right. Like, it's really, really cool that he'll reach for you from the opposite door. And I love that so much. And it is all about that. You're tiny. You're tiny and everything's gigantic. Like, I have a weird fear of big things in general, like big ships or big buildings. They feel really superimposing, and it makes me feel like I had nightmares when I was growing up of being crushed by overwhelming gigantic things.
I wonder what triggered that.
I have no idea. Probably living on an island and nearly falling in between a ferry and a harbour.
Not to laugh, it's just, this harrowing thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
Maybe it was that dipshit.
It's probably that. It does play, but it is in that creepy factor. It's in a weird space where you feel it's unsettling at times. It's unsettling because you're a child. It's unsettling because, you know, one of the enemies has six elbows on each arm and they all just wiggle about the place all creepily. you know, it's just unsettling. And I think it's expertly pulled off.
You're killing the stripper again.
I know. Sorry.
That's all right. So starting with Little Nightmares 2, you play as, I had to Google because, I mean, they're stupid or didn't notice, but your name is Mono.
Mono.
And you're a little boy who might be a little boy, might not be a little boy, but he has a bag on his head.
Yep.
I love the start of this with when you actually meet Six, when you're running away from the guy with the shotgun. Like, yeah. Immediately it was like, oh yeah, this is good stuff. There's not going to be much mechanics talk in this episode because literally there are very little mechanics. There are a few kind of cool physics puzzles in Little Nightmares 2 where you actually like have to get enough momentum to do some things, or you have to throw a cube at the right angle to hit a button that you can't reach. Or the elevator puzzle infuriated me because I'm like, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to do this? And I actually had to Google it, and I'm like, oh.
I was just about to say the same. I Googled quite a few. And you can tell from Google Autocomplete that other people have Googled this as well.
Yeah, you can tell whether you should feel stupid or not for Googling it. there's some really cool brain-teasy physics puzzles, like with the TV, where it's like, oh, yeah, wait, you just move the TV, and then you can bloop, bloop, and you're, okay. So what I want to discuss more with Little Nightmares 2 here is everything that isn't mechanics.
Yeah.
Like, if you start this game raw, do you have any idea what's going on in this game?
No. Are you meaning if I just started it? You know, from the start, no. By the end, you can maybe kind of piece together some things, but it leaves it very open to interpretation and very open to guessing. And it's not like you need to read all the lore that's on notes through. There is none. You just need to kind of make big assumptions.
There's no spoken dialogue.
Nope.
It is very much a what do you... Now, that being said, I'm pretty sure the developers definitely have like a Little Nightmares Bible that they work out of, right? Like, there is a read of this that is correct and a read that's incorrect. I'm kind of stumped on a lot of what's going on in these games. And much like playing Dark Souls for the first time, that makes me very happy. Like, it is incredibly hard to do thing where you're like, all right, we're not telling you anything, but you're still going to want to know.
Oh, I don't care. Oh, sorry.
Really?
Yeah, I'm of the. I played it. I thought about it. I'm not gonna lie. I did think about it. I came up with my best guess at what the whole thing was about, and then I just closed that cupboard in my brain.
Okay. Now, when you say like you're just like I closed it, I didn't necessarily mean like you played it, thought about it, and experienced it, and you're done. I meant more of like the it doesn't become a wireframe. Okay, time to get to the next puzzle.
Okay, got you.
Like you're curious of what's gonna happen next.
Yeah, I get you now. Yeah, it's not like it's not an open and closed case.
Yeah, it's not a like it doesn't turn into Intelligent Cube, right? Where it's just I'm seeing these abstract things and I'm solving the puzzle. Because the game does take time to do cutscenes and set up dramatic things, like what happens at the end of Little Nightmares 2, right? Like that is very dramatic, and you can tell they're telling a story, but they're doing so with, you know, all the limitations in the world. And so I'm curious here, and this, but just between us, or United at the top, that's what I wanted to know from Emily, right? Was like, okay, what do you think this is about?
Oh, she has no clue.
No, I don't mean in like a, you know, I'm going to do a college thesis on it of like, what are the themes of Little Nightmares?
Yeah.
But more in the, all right, tell me the story of what happens in Little Nightmares.
Yeah. We spoke about it today while Reese was in a swimming lesson. Uh-huh. And we generally, the way we took it, it helps Laura's, or Amelie's granny and granddad are away to see the ballet. And the way we rationalised all of this is the developers have a story and this is like interpretive dance art version of the story.
Okay. All right.
So we kind of went with, they're telling the story through this theme or this thing. It might not, the story might be, but this is an interpretation and it is effectively a piece of art as opposed to a narrative that you're supposed to even follow. You're supposed to just get a feeling from it.
Oh, so it's more impressional than it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's and we kind of both agreed on that because we both played through both games and both went, oh, well, that we agreed how we felt and we agreed on what we thought about the game, but could not find common ground on what the story even actually technically was, if that makes sense. So that agreement of how we felt said, that game made us feel like this, and that was the point of it.
Oh, see, I am the opposite. It's like, okay, like this is archaeological for me, where it's like, okay, this is hieroglyphs on a wall that are telling a narrative, but I don't know how to interpret the hieroglyphs.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so with that impressional approach that you guys mm-hmm. took, what about, like, concrete things that happen? Like, with Mono fighting the Thin Man, or what happens with Six when she just lets him drop?
Well, the way, the concrete things, from what I remember, and this was a while ago, we did the Mono Drop. That sounds so cool.
I love it when the DJ does the Mono Drop.
And that was, we thought that Mono somehow in some weird loopy TV absorbed way was the Thin Man. So trying to get him not to go into the TV, him eventually going into the TV and then Six dropping him meant that she knew that he was going to end up being the Thin Man anyway. So she had to.
Okay. See, what I took it as was, okay, I'm sorry. This is very weird for our podcast to do.
I know. I feel, I'm like, whoa.
The way I took it was, in a very childish way, when Six was the big monster, he broke her music box.
Oh, okay.
And so she was like, well, fuck you then. And dropped it.
I mean, yeah, when you put it like that, yeah, it could be. It could be. I didn't read too much. I wasn't reading a thesis, nor was I reading a Reddit post that someone put up of their theory. But there is ongoing discussion about what it actually all means. So it's not like there is one hard and fast thing.
Okay, so, I don't think I should not have used the term what it means. I should have used what the story is. Because at the end, Mono definitely turns into the Thin Man. What happens at the end where he's sitting in the chair, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but even then, you could think, is he the Thin Man and that's it? Is this how Thin Men are made?
Is this a replacement Thin Man because you killed the Thin Man? In a very cool scene. A game that uses little mechanics and somehow still you learned how to do that boss fight. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Really liked that. And then how this at all factors into Little Nightmares 1? I have no idea.
Oh, I do know that.
Okay.
Well, I think I kind of know that. See, during Little Nightmares 2, where you get Glitchy 6. Glitchy 6. Does that
glitchy
even make
sense? 6, not Glitchy 6.
Yeah,
really made me go, did I miss something huge?
No. Basically, there are unnamed, unmarked, gloopy glitch collectibles. If you get all of them, right at the very end, 6 finds a pamphlet that lets her know about the Maw, and then it implies that 6 starts to feel a little bit hungry and desperate to reach the Maw based on the pamphlet and the information that was on it. But you don't really know. It's just she picks up a note and it's about that. So if you get all those collectibles, it kind of hints that the end of the game drives her towards seeking out the boat.
Okay, now see, I thought the glitches were little monos because of the TV stuff. That makes sense.
Whatever they were, that's what happens. That's how the two games, I think. I'm saying this like authoritatively. I just think that might be it.
Well, hey, we pretty much know this is open to interpretation. Okay. Yeah. All right, so well, that whole like being hungry thing makes sense for what happens in Little Nightmares 1. And I haven't looked at like grand overarching theories until I play the third one. And once I play the third one, which is coming soon to a theater near you, I will be like, okay, I have enough information here. What is my guess? Because playing Little Nightmares 2, when I went into it, I didn't know it was a prequel because, you know, it was just like, oh, it's coming. I don't need to watch a trailer. I know what it's going to be. And I was surprised when you found the raincoat for 6 because I didn't know that was 6. I was like, oh, hey, it's a little name. I mean, I didn't know her name was 6 until I looked up the stats for this for the show. And then I'm like, it's 6. Oh, that's cool. Okay, that makes sense. That's really cool. So you have dropped, you did the mono drop and you're like,
I did the mono drop. Yep.
I'm out of here. I'm going to a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then Little Nightmares 1 happens.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm lost on Little Nightmares 1.
I couldn't agree more. In Little Nightmares 2 came out after, and I don't know whether they refined their process of how to tell the story, or maybe it's a better told, subtle story, or whether it's supposed to be more open because there will be another game. I don't know. Little Nightmares 1 feels more like what your Limbo and Insides felt like. Inside felt like it was like a left to right runner death machine with some spooky things going on. It wasn't until I played Little Nightmares 2 that I actually started thinking there's more to this than what I even acknowledge or understand. You know. Dave. Oh, my PlayStation went into rest mode. I'm just gonna keep on talking. I'm just gonna keep on talking. I'm just gonna keep on talking now. And then I'm joining a little party. Then I'm joining a little party.
Hey, what happened?
PlayStation went into rest mode. I missed the notification. So, what I had just said was, and I don't know how much you heard, playing the first game felt more like Limbo and Inside. It felt like a left-to-right spooky survival with puzzles and stuff. It wasn't until the second game I felt like there's a narrative here and there's a little bit more to it than what I thought. So I don't know whether it's because the second game tells a better story in a better way than the it's a weird way to have it, where the second one's the prequel, and I feel like you get more out of the prequel instead of the first one,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
I kind of agree with it. It feels like either they had a more concrete story to tell, like they did the Bible work between one and two, or they are much better at showing without telling. Yeah. Like, whereas in the first game, it was kind of proof of concept.
I also wondered, to be honest, could it just be that they didn't know if there was going to be a sequel or a second game?
It could have been. Like I mean, I'm sure, like, the business end definitely... what's the word? Impacted how this was going to go. Because I think Little Nightmares 2 doesn't stand on its own. I mean, it does in the fact that if you just played it, you'd be like, what the hell is going on? I need to check out the first one. But it's not a complete story. Little Nightmares 1, you kind of get the sense this is a complete story.
Yeah.
With a lot of question marks in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot more things that I question about it. Like, where did the lady with the mirrors, like, why did it go suddenly super Asian? Exactly. You're like, oh.
Absolutely. Do not know. Didn't know if the boat and everything contained therein was some sort of, you know, like, analogy for something else, or whether it was telling the story of the seven deadly sins and one of them happened to be Mirror Lady or something. And that's, I feel bad about that, but I mean,
if, don't take this as us saying, and they were completely unsuccessful. This is us going, yeah, we're probably too stupid to pick this up. This is not, they did a bad job. Because they did a phenomenal... Like, the one thing I'll give Little Nightmares 1 that 2 doesn't accomplish as much for me is that feels more dreamlike.
Yeah.
That does feel like your brain skipping from, like, set piece to set piece to set piece, not a coherence. Because, like, in the second one, you do run across those weird scenes of, like, everybody staring at the TV and, like, things that are like, oh, okay, obviously that tower is sending out a signal. Like, why aren't those people, like, the long-necked people? Like, there's still a narrative structure. With one, not so great.
The guy chasing her, then you eventually trap his arms and chop them off. I felt bad for that guy. He was just doing his job, probably. Was that right at the start? Is there a janitor or a something? I don't know, cleaner?
All
right.
Taking context clues from the rest of the game, can we not imagine that guy was bad because he was on this boat?
Probably.
Don't feel bad for him. He deserved it.
And then, if I remember right, at some point you eat a live rat.
You also eat a gnome.
Yeah, gnome.
Yeah, the guys with the little pointy hats.
Oh, right, yeah. Bloody hell, I don't even know what my brain thought a gnome was there. When you said gnome, my brain did not picture a gnome.
You know, like the little Travelocity guy.
Yeah.
Like you eat one of those guys. And it's, if I remember right, like it's been a long time, I didn't play the DLC this time. But if I remember right, in the DLC for Little Nightmares 1, that's played as that little gnome, and the end of the DLC is you putting on that hat and walking into that room.
Oh.
So, I don't know
what
it means.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
It is super cool.
Yeah. I remember when I played it, and like, correct me if I'm completely wrong, but I drew minor parallels to Inside when we played Inside, because you're driven unknown to do something, and at the very end and Inside, you get amalgamated into the big blobby leg monster. And in this, you turn into a vampire eating thing. And it's like, it feels like the point of this was to kind of mimic that being driven. You don't know why this person's being driven towards the end, the very right hand side of this place, but all you know is you need to get that person from left to right.
Okay. No. Like for me, that's not how my brain processed this. Like, okay, so let's take the context that 2 gives 1 and just talk 1 on it standalone.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this was very much that kid is damn hungry.
Yeah.
Like, it's if they didn't have you eat the rat beforehand, I'd have been like, okay. But, like, to you, the player, looking at those little gnome guys, you don't know what the hell they are either. And she's, yeah, I always took it as just like, look, I'm really hungry. The ship's doing something to her. But with the context of 2 being like, oh, she was a monster, and this is probably just reoccurring. I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm if you were expecting us to discuss the mechanics of this, I'm very sorry. Like, there's just not much here. One thing I do want to talk about at length is how cool raincoats are. Was this successful for you? Looking at this now from like podcast eyeballs,
mm-hmm.
like was, I know you said you shut the cabinet, but do you count what it did as successful in drawing you in?
Oh yeah.
Both games.
Both games, absolutely 100%. And talking to Amelie about it completely solidified that, because just the fact, like, for our interpretation of it and what we think it did or was trying to do as a piece of art, for want of a less farty word, it's totally successful. It makes you feel things. You go, what the fuck? You go, ugh. And you go, ah! And all of those things all count up to like a really cool, really surreal experience. And it does it both. Both of these games, I think, are far more successful than that, than Limbo and Inside are. Which, well, it might be blasphemous. I don't know. I don't know what the general consensus on the internet is.
No, blasphemous was that game with the guy with the cone head and it was about the Spanish Catholic Church.
Can we just not?
Well, it's been a pleasure. okay, so like on that front, I'll agree with you 100%. What I guess I'm more curious about is I've stopped myself from going, all right, I want to know more about the world.
Yeah.
Like I've had to actually stop myself. For you, there wasn't that, all right, I want to find out what's going on.
Nope.
And you don't count that as a downside.
Like, I don't think, I've got no interest in joining communities of people online to discuss what the themes or what the story may have been or what people's interpretations of it were. Like, I don't know if it's a selfish thing or whether it's just a disinterested thing or whether it's whatever it could be. I got what I wanted and more out of the game, and I'm not in a position where I want to dedicate more time to that when there's a million and one other games to play and there's a million and one other experiences to have. Like, I don't do that with any game.
You're a liar.
What if a Bloodborne, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Bloodborne, you were like, all right, I need this story right in my veins.
Okay, right, yeah, Bloodborne is a special case. Much like Hitman is a special case to stealth, Bloodborne is a special case to
narrative.
Narrative. This just nailed whatever it wanted to nail into us, and then it was just like, yep, that was good. Move on. I don't think I would get much more out of trying to read more about it, because nobody knows for sure. Like, people have really nailed a lot of Bloodborne, if we take that as the example.
Yeah, whereas that's true.
What you read on the internet, this is like, actually, that's a really good way to put it. Bloodborne has lore notes, and it's got a story, and it's got all the endings, and you can piece everything or piece a lot of it together through that, you know. Whereas this, it's just people's interpretations of it, and no one's interpretation is going to make me question my own interpretation, because once I have an interpretation of something, if I read something else, I'm like, I'm more inclined to go, nah, it doesn't quite. I'm not swayed by that case. I'm not swayed by... Maybe sometimes I am. Maybe sometimes I'm not. But I don't have the energy to think about it.
I'm 90% of the way there with you. And if... For No More Sages, the watchwords are nostalgia is the enemy. The watchwords for the bit effect are your headcanon is useless. I guess what strikes me here that doesn't in things like Limbo or Inside is, all right, I know there are answers to these things. The developers have them.
Mm-hmm.
I want some answers. Like that makes me sound like a childish person.
I'm want demanding.
Well, because like if you see something in a movie, for example, mm-hmm. and it's ambiguous, you can walk away satisfied going, who knows? It was meant to be ambiguous. Whereas in this, I don't get the feeling of it's ambiguous. I get the feeling of there's a point, I just can't find it.
Yeah.
So like just, and I'm not talking about like, I want to know what people do for breakfast in this world, right? Like it's not that. It's more like the, okay, are they actually little kids? Is this actually like Earth? Is this like very fundamental? Like, why does that lady have a stretchy neck? Why does the chef look like that? Like, I want to know why all the adults look the way they do and all the kids look the way, like that kind of questions.
And like some people out there will go, yeah, they're kids. It's a nightmare world. It's nightmares. This is what baddies look like in nightmares for kids. People have two heads and six elbows and chase you. You know, like that's my take on it, is this game is literally called Little Nightmares. The game looks like a diorama right the way through the whole thing. It's got that effect.
Yeah, it
does. Is this just a nightmarish construct of some child's imagination? Maybe. Do I care? No.
Oh, I had this whole thesis. Oh. All right. The Bit Effect is currently looking for a second host. Oh. If you know anybody. No, yeah, I understand that. Like, that's perfectly acceptable. This is very much not the developer should have answered these questions. It's I am curious enough.
Yeah.
To answer these questions. And think that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I can point to is the fact that you have a stupid beard and I have a good beard.
Oh. Well, now I'm just insulted.
Closed. yeah, okay, so while I wouldn't say this to be mean, I'm not saying this to say, hey, you don't matter, but if you have opinions of like, oh, hey, Dave, this actually is this, and like, please don't send them to me. I don't care that much. I realize how awful that sounds as a person, but I'm trying to be honest. Like, if I want information, I will search it out. And this isn't like a, hey, do you know if these guys worked on blah, or, you know, it's not like a factual thing.
Yeah.
But the, like I would, it would be cool to sit down and talk to somebody way younger than me and see how they feel about it. And I tried with Abby and she just went, no. I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, like I'm very curious to whether people, even if it, you know what? If you felt this told a narrative that you understood without making up 90% of it in your head, I'd love to hear like that you got a successful narrative experience out of this, or if you think it's more experiential and more impressionistic that like Craig and Emily do.
Yeah, it's that second one. We're right. Sorry. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, but it can't be. Because impressionistic things have no narrative cohesion.
Uh-huh.
This has narrative cohesion.
That's not true. If you watch an interpretive dance, or even ballet. Ballet is actually a great example. Ballet tells a story. Can you fucking tell what that story is without knowing what the story is beforehand? No.
Yeah, but you're talking. Yes, you can tell the story of the Nutcracker.
Oh, you the Nutcracker. I saw Swan Lake, and I was like, what the fuck.
You can 100% pretend. Woo, boy, Freudian slip. You can 100% portray a story in Swan Lake. There is a story to Swan Lake.
Yeah.
But the way you're talking about it is these little set pieces don't matter. It's more important how it made you feel.
Maybe.
And that's where I'm bucking up against.
Well, buck away.
Oh, buck away. I'm gonna buck.
I can hear you bucking.
Stupid beard. Now, I think that's where we should call it, because other than that, it's just going to be us yelling at each other. Yeah. No, a slightly longer final thoughts. Where Limbo and Inside fell down for me was, I don't care what happens in those universes. Was Limbo, is that his sister at the end? Is it just a spider in disguise? Is it a politician? I don't know. I don't care. In Inside, oh, hey, you're a cool blobby monster. Okay, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It just means, surprise, you're a blob. And being a blob is very cool. But there was no, like, oh, this is a cool hook. It's not like the blob then went on to start a family and lived in the blobby wastelands of Norway or whatever. Nothing. Whereas in this, there is that you follow Six through it. So I think this, atmospherically, I think is more interesting. I think there are little details that they shove at you that make you go, hey, what's going on here? Whereas with Inside and Limbo, they didn't really do that. Like, for example, here's a good example that I just thought of, because everything I think of is good.
Mm-hmm.
In Inside, when you run into the little girls underwater with all the hair floaties, right? Yeah. To me, they just struck me as, oh, that's an obstacle I have to get past. That's all. In this, when you go through that school with all the little, like, ceramic-headed boys fighting and throwing food and strangling, I immediately thought, wait, what's going on here? Like that is a huge difference to me. And I think Little Nightmares team is, I don't want to say better, that's stupid, excellent at crafting a world that, even if it just hooks me, I love that. And that's the end of my final thoughts.
Wow. I thought you were never going to finish.
Oh, I don't. So,
Right, no. For me, I agree 100%. Little Nightmares, absolutely atmospheric, weird storytelling feeling thing. It's just nailed it. The way it looks is great. The way it sounds is great. It's deathly silent at times, and you're like, whoa. It does have something to it that just, they're just super wee special games. And I particularly love the way they look, because although they look vaguely close to Inside and slightly further away from Limbo, they totally look like tiny wee dioramas. Like, they've got that effect that
The skin has like a plasticine look to it.
And it's a beautiful pair of games to play. If you want, like, of the four of them, if it's a straight, I kind of figured out what's going on here narrative thing, that's Inside. Inside is quite clear in what it is. Limbo, obviously, like, maybe was the start of this kind of thing. It's a special game, sure, and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of just not got the chops of the what the fuckness that Little Nightmares has. And it feels very imposing for a game, with you being so wee and everything being so big. Like, it really struck that chord for me in the weird, creepy feeling way. So, yeah.
Fair enough. You're wrong. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm always
I will
wrong.
Defend your right to be wrong to the death, sir.
Thank you.
Now that is out of the way, we just woke up from our little nightmare, and now we must strike at the evil within. And
what are we playing?
We're going to play Scars Above. Okay. Join us for Evil Within 2. Now, if you have thoughts of, like, Dave, why did you pick Evil Within 2? Number one, Craig's dad approved of it. That says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I didn't really like Evil Within 1 that much, but then I saw the trailer for Evil Within 2, and they used the Duran Duran song Ordinary World, and I was like, well, it can't be all bad. Like, that's a great song. I think Evil Within 2 is a good example of completely redeeming yourself with a sequel. Not like that has... That's not the theme that we're doing. This it was just spooky this month. So if you have thoughts on Evil Within 2, or you know what? Just because I was a jerk face earlier, even if you have thoughts on Evil Within 1, I would love to read them, because that is a divisive as hell game. If you have any of those thoughts, you can send them to us at thebiteffect.com, where we will read them, probably while I'm sitting in a bathtub, and go, yeah, right. And then go back to scrolling Reddit. So, like, it probably won't impact my life, just a heads up. But I do love reading them, and anytime anybody, like, suggests a game or decides to write in, it's always like a... You're smiling like an idiot. So if you have a game that you would like us to take a look at in this nice new format, then, yeah, you can hit us up there, too. That would be great. Other than that, Craig.
Yes?
Are you ready to be a hard-boiled detective who wants to find answers at the bottom of the bottle?
Yeah. What are we playing?
Scars Above. So, I guess I will see you next time when you put on your fedora and you wear a duster and you go, there's an evil within. We already talked about your best Duran Duran song, and you're wrong on that. What can we do to link these two?
I've got no idea.
Wax! Wax is very important to Evil Within 2. So,
yes.
Craig, what is your favorite scented candle scent?
Oh, that's an absolute fucking doddle. I love all the ones that smell like fresh linen, cotton fresh laundry, cotton laundry.
I love laundry, man. Fair enough. I am a sucker for anything lavender. Don't know why.
Oh, really?
I love the smell of lavender.
You're fucking lavender 90-year-old women.
Look, don't make me put down these crocheting hooks and yell at you. So, yes, next time, please join us on The Evil Within 2, as that is a game I really enjoy. And Craig will, too, if he knows what's good for him.